We're going to ask Brother George Young from Allentown to ask the blessing of Brother Ray's discourse.
George?
Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we come into thy hallowed presence once again this day to give thee thanks for thy many, many blessings that thou hast bestowed upon us, and especially for the opportunity and the privilege of gathering here at convention to fellowship and to receive the many blessings that we have. And at this time we ask thy very special blessing upon Brother Ray as he is to break to us the bread of life. Grant him a greater portion of thy Holy Spirit, and bless each one of us bowed before thee. Open up our hearts and minds that we may be receptive to this message. Now bless thy children the world over, and we continue to pray for thy kingdom to come, for thy will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray for thy continued blessings, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, dear brethren, as you know, our convention is drawing to a close. Sad to say, but then on the other hand, there are so many blessings that we carry away from here. Now today, yesterday, we made mention of that circle of love extending itself further. Now, Brother Ray and his family and his ecclesia out in Portland, Oregon have made an imprint on my heart and on Barbara's, and of course we have half of our family out there now too. And thereby, the comment, the circle of love, goes without the parameters of the East Coast anymore, and it extends itself all the way out there. But it's been special for me that Brother Ray could come out here with us. It's a distance. And we're looking in with anticipation for a blessing with the subject of, which is very, very apropos, because I'm sure that all of us are feeling this at this particular point. And the subject that he chose for his discourse is gratitude. So, Brother Ray, may the Lord bless you.
My dear brethren, you plan for a convention for months, and all of a sudden it's just about over. And in a way, that's the way it will be for us who have made a covenant with our Heavenly Father to walk diligently in the footsteps of our beloved Master. If we are faithful, one day we will suddenly find ourselves on the other side of the veil in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And what joy that will then be. And how our hearts will then be able to express the gratitude that we had in previous years, had all bottled up within us, and yet could not find a way of expressing it to our Heavenly Father. But when we come to the end of the way, and if by His grace we have heard His well done, oh, how we will be able to thank Him and praise His great and holy name. And so I thought that it would be appropriate for a little while to end this wonderful convention with just a few thoughts about thanksgiving and gratitude. Our program says that it's really a pre-Thanksgiving convention. And our hearts are filled with thanksgiving for the fellowship, for the lessons that we have been presented with, for the inspiration that we felt being together, and for texts such as Ephesians 5:20, which appears on our program, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do give thanks. In our land, it has been a tradition for many years now to celebrate Thanksgiving on the last Thursday of November. And in a few days, we will come to that time. Families will be together. They will have prepared, each according to their own desires and abilities, some sort of feast. But not many of them will sit at that table and reflect over the blessings of the past. Some, no doubt, will. There are really many wonderful people in the world who show a great deal of appreciation and care for others. And I'm sure that as we sit around our dinner table next Thursday, our hearts will be so filled with appreciation for the blessings of the past year. For the way the Heavenly Father led us step by step. For all the seasons of fellowship that we enjoyed in the conventions that we were able to attend. And for all the discourses that we heard. Perhaps there were more than we could quickly number. Perhaps we have stored in our little study at home or in a book sheets and sheets of notes that we have taken at conventions. And perhaps on Thursday we will open that little portfolio and recall how the Lord fed us at this convention or that. Some of us had the great privilege of meeting our dear brethren in the past year overseas. And as we sit at our table, I think on Thursday, I know my mind will go to Poland and to Germany and to France. And to England, and to Greece. And while I haven't been to Nigeria, I'll be thinking of the brethren there. And I'll remember the brethren in India. Many of them not able to sit at a feast like I know I'll be sitting at. The Lord willing, we expect to be with the brethren at the retirement center. But that is a wonderful day. But it shouldn't be a day that is so exceptional in the sense that for the child of God, ours must be Thanksgiving Day every single day of our life. And I think that we're all striving with our hearts to make every day a day of Thanksgiving. Somehow, when I think of Thanksgiving, I also think of those Pilgrim Fathers here in New England, how after a hard year, they decided to have this special day of Thanksgiving. They were well aware of the hardships that they had gone through. Those early pioneers were tempted to leave New England and their home here many, many times. I'm sure that they were at times so sorry that they ever left their home back in England. After that dreadful winter, I'm sure that their hearts ached because they had laid many of their loved ones, as we say, to rest in the graves on Burial Hill. But they endured the difficulties, and they met together in order to thank God, and they left for us and for many others a kind of noble example which we can follow. And so we thank our Heavenly Father that while we are thankful every single day of our Christian life, because I'm sure on bended knee we all thank God daily for the blessings that we have received and for His guidance and help and direction and overruling and mercy and forgiveness. But on this day that our country is set aside as Thanksgiving, I think perhaps maybe in a special way we can think of our dear brethren scattered the world over. And I'll be thinking of you, dear brethren, in a special way too, because you've been a blessing to me at this convention, and I've appreciated the privilege of being with you. So Thanksgiving Day helps us to survey a little more closely, perhaps, than we've had an opportunity to do before, all those things that God's gracious hand has bestowed upon us. And to thank Him that we understand God's plan and that we understand the purpose for it all, and how that all the families of the earth will truly be blessed in His due time. We also know that we are living in a time of difficulty and trouble and despair. And yet, in spite of all that goes on in the world and the gloomy picture that even the wise men of this world seem to be calling to the attention of those who will listen, that there is a great deal more trouble in the earth than appears on the surface, I think that while all of this trouble exists in the world, yet we are not frightened by what is going on. And so we thank our Heavenly Father so much for this wonderful feeling of peace and contentment and satisfaction that rests within us when we realize that soon these troubles and distresses and heartaches and tears will be erased, and that the blessings will flow to the world. And so while to a degree we share the troubles in the world, yet we are hopeful and we are cheerful and we are endeavoring to be always rejoicing, because we know that God has everything in His hand, and it is all in His control. I'm sure that you have found, just as I have, that what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in his first letter in the 6th chapter and the 6th verse has been a tremendous blessing to you. There the Apostle wrote, saying, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Now, I think this has always been true for the Lord's people throughout the gospel age, and yet it, in this day of the Lord, seems to have double force. I think that one of the chief ailments in the world is discontent. Haven't you noticed that so many people that you know, people that you might be working with, perhaps your neighbors or some of your relatives, your friends, that so often they manifest this feeling of discontent, dissatisfaction? Well, to this, my dear brethren, the Lord's people should be a notable exception. And while there's never been a time when dissatisfaction has been so widespread, yet from a fleshly human standpoint, at least as far as our own country is concerned, to a greater extent, not in every single spot, even in this country, yet there are many, many fleshly, earthly, human benefits available to most of us than there ever were in past ages. I know that there are some pretty sad corners of the earth. I know that even in Portland, Oregon, there are people who sleep outdoors all night long, whether it be winter or summer or any time at all. And I suspect that maybe your area has the same thing. But actually, I think as far as the Lord's people are concerned, I think that that we live in such convenient circumstances, of which that even King Solomon in all of his glory and all the benefits that monarch of Israel, the wisest man in the world of his day, and probably the most wealthy, I don't think that King Solomon has the things that you and I have in our little home. Suppose you heard a knock on the door and you opened the door and all of a sudden you saw King Solomon there with his crown on and his glory robes, and you invited him into your home and you started to show him some of the things that you have because of the day in which we live, and that you were able to buy because of whatever, your hard work or your inheritance or whatever. You know, I think that King Solomon would be amazed. He'd say, "What is that?" And you'd say, "Well, that's a television." "A television? What is that?" And maybe when he knocked, maybe you were just watching the evening news. And he'd say, "Well, what is that?" "Well, I'm getting the news." "What's the news?" "Well, it means whatever's happening in the world today." "Is that right?" he'd say. "And how do you get this news?" "Well, if he asked me, I couldn't explain it. I can't tell you how I can just go over and turn a knob or press a button and all of a sudden there comes a picture and a voice, and I get the news from Israel or from Africa or whatever." And so we'd say to King Solomon, "Well, I'm getting information about what's going on here and there all over the world." And he'd say, "Isn't that wonderful? Why, in my day, I used to have to wait till a camel caravan came along and told me about what's happening way back there at the other end or the other side of my land. or if you showed him a refrigerator or your vacuum cleaner, and he, you know, he'd say, "Oh, if only we had that in my palace in my day. I tell you, that sand blowing in was such a terrible thing, and here all you would be able to do is just sweep that up and nothing flat." Well, okay, so we are richly blessed, and as a result of that, we have a great responsibility. And so, shall we join the world in complaining and grumbling? No, my dear brethren, we have a great responsibility because the Heavenly Father has bestowed upon us so many gifts, gifts which He expects us to use in His service to the glory of His name. I think that the feeling of gratitude and thanksgiving is a trait that is very reasonable to have, and one which the Heavenly Father has instilled in the human family from the very start of creation. And our loving gratitude in response to all of the Heavenly Father's goodness, are going to the throne of grace to thank our Father for the blessings that He has bestowed upon us, I think the Father appreciates a great deal. And as a result of this, there is a nice feeling of communion and communication with our Father because of it. When the Master was here upon the earth, there was a certain time when He was approaching Jerusalem by way of Samaria and Galilee. I think that this was probably near the end of His career, and His fame by this time had spread. So when He was coming down a road, generally there were crowds of people with Him, and the word came along that it was Jesus. And I think you've probably already anticipated the account that I would like to mention in connection with this lesson, because it's the account of the 10 lepers. They were sitting on the side of the road, and you know, lepers are people who are and who were greatly pitied in those days, because their condition is almost indescribable. It's just a living death where their flesh just falls away from their whole being. And so this sad group of 10 lepers was there by the wayside. They heard that Jesus was coming, and as He came closer, they called unto Him, "Master, have mercy on us." Now, these 10, because of being drawn together by this terrible affliction that they have, they were drawn together in a way that was a little different than most people are drawn together. They ignored racial barriers, and they just could sympathize with each other, and they tried to help each other. But when they heard that Jesus was coming, they cried unto Him for help. Ordinarily, they would be asking for alms so that they might be able to buy some bread or some food. But in answer to their cry for help, Jesus simply said to them, go, show yourself to the priests. Now, according to the law covenant, it was necessary for anyone who had leprosy, and if they felt that they had been cleansed of it or cured, that they would have to go to the priest, and he would declare whether they were cleansed, and they could then go back into ordinary living. So, in a way, here the Lord was implying to them that as they went to the priest, that they would be cleansed. And so, that's exactly what they did. And I sort of have a feeling that maybe they just really hurried. Maybe they even ran to where the priest, where they knew a priest would be. And there was one who was not an Israelite. He was a Samaritan. He had no business going to the priest, but nevertheless, he just tagged along because that's where the others were going. And so, the account tells us in Luke 17:14, but as they went, they were cleansed. You can imagine how happy they must have been. And I suppose they even ran faster then to the priest in order to be declared cleansed, and then they could go back to their families. Well, that's what most of them did. One of them turned back and went to the master, and he fell at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. His was a grateful heart. I like to think that even though he was a Samaritan, that when the door of opportunity was opened to the Gentiles, that in that due time, he gave his whole being to the Heavenly Father to show even further his grateful appreciation. And so, we too, just like that Samaritan, that leper, we too, at one time, were on the side of a road. Not actually, but in figurative language. And somehow we saw the Master coming down the road in our mind's eye. And we cried to him, Master, have mercy on me. And so Jesus heard us. And he, by God's grace, enlightened us. And our Heavenly Father drew us even closer to himself. And the time came when, finally, we too fell before the feet of the Master, and we gave our entire life to him. And because we did that, we have the assurance that our Heavenly Father will continue to direct us and keep us. Our feeling of gratitude as we continue in the straight and narrow way will make every trial and sacrifice on our part seem small and proportionately easy to be offered. A grateful heart can go on from experience to experience, from grace to grace, from strength to strength, from knowledge to knowledge, from attainment to attainment, knowing that there's nothing that we have done for ourselves, but that everything that we receive has come from our loving Father. And if our gratitude begins to wane in any sense of the word, if the advantages, if the blessings if the gifts that we have received are accepted by us as matters of our own wisdom or talent or ability, or, as the world says, because of good luck, oh, then, my dear brethren, we are in a very sad and serious situation. For then we will be in danger if we are not grateful. We are in danger of finding ourselves growing cold spiritually, and with it will come unholiness, spiritual pride, and self-conceit. This will do shipwreck to our life. The scriptures are just loaded with admonitions which will help us to have hearts filled with gratitude. The writings of David, the prophets, and the apostles abound with expressions of gratitude to the Heavenly Father. We can step right in line with those other servants of God by having hearts and having our whole being just filled with appreciation for what God has done for us. And so as Thanksgiving Day and every day of our life helps us to survey more closely the blessings that we have received, I'm sure that we will continue to strive with our whole being to be more grateful than other people not as acquainted with the Heavenly Father as we are. It is such a pleasure. You know, we sing, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one." And I have, on occasion, I have taken a slip of paper and a pen or pencil, and I've tried to think of all the things that the Heavenly Father has done for me and for the Lord's people generally. And I tell you that the list goes from A to Z. I don't have time. My time is up. I don't have time to go through the list. But just think. Aren't we thankful for the admonitions that we receive, from the afflictions, for the angels, for the apostles and the armor God has provided, for the assemblies such as this, for the assistance and the assurance that we belong to the Lord, and for the blessings we have received, and for the Bible, which is God's Word, and the bread from heaven, and the brethren? Aren't we thankful for our calling and for Calvary's cross and for the care that we receive from the Heavenly Father and our communion with Him, and that we have a conscience which we are trying to make very tender, and courage to continue on in spite of our difficulties at times and problems? Don't we rejoice that the day star has arisen in our heart, and that we understand what death really means, and that we've made a decision to serve God, and that our life is completely dedicated to our Father? And don't we thank Him for the deliverances that come to us so often? You see, the list could go on and on. I'm only in the D's. And there is much, much more. I'll make you a homework assignment. Before Thursday, write out a list of the things that you're thankful for. And another little assignment that I would like to give you is sometime in the very near future, when you go to the throne of heavenly grace, don't ask the Heavenly Father for a certain thing. Ask Him for nothing. Just thank Him. Just thank Him and just thank Him for what you have received. It will be rather difficult to do at first. At least I found it to be so. Because it's so easy to go to the Heavenly Father and say, "Dear Father, please give me whatever. More grace, more strength, more this or more that." But just go to the throne of grace as that Samaritan of old fell at the feet of Jesus, giving Him thanks. Let us too, in our prayers, fall at the Master's feet, giving Him thanks. And so, my dear brethren, may God bless you and keep you. It has been a joy to be with you. I thank the Heavenly Father for the privilege of being with you. And on Thursday, I will be remembering you specially, along with many brethren throughout the world. And I hope that perhaps you will be able to remember me also in your prayers. May God be with us and keep us till we meet again. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ray. Just a few comments in closing, brethren. Brother Ray made a mention of, I think that we all need reminders. You know, you and myself in our daily lives, we put little reminders everywhere. You know how that works, on refrigerators, on car dashboards, and little notes here and little notes there. But just to remind us of certain things to be accomplished. And kind of gave me the thought about the reminder of gratitude, how wonderful the Lord has been to us this whole year, and to praise Him more and more effectively. And I think this discourse really summed it all up. This is the bottom line, as we say, gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord for what He has done. On behalf of this ecclesia, the friends from the Jersey City class, we want to thank everyone for coming, because without you, there would be no convention. There are different reasons for coming. As you know, everyone has a different reason. Some of us come, as it were, to be filled up, to get fueled up, to get charged up, to face the world. And others come to seek out a dear saint that they haven't seen, to fellowship with them at length and at depth. And there are other ones that come to listen to the voice of God through a talk to help them through a special trial or a need or a struggle that they've had. So, you know, each one of us have different reasons for coming, but it's all overruled by the Lord that He draws us to places such as this, Oasis. Whatever the reason, we hope and pray that this, or any other convention at that matter, has helped you and strengthened you, and to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. Brother Ray made a point in the beginning, right in the beginning, it caught my ear. He said that our feelings are bottled up, and the term bottled up kind of struck me. What does it mean? They're contained. But someday, and I keep thinking about this, there's no need for the bottle. Because they're bottled up is because our affections and our feelings, we can't express them the way we want to. And I've noticed that even in Brother Ken's discourse, and the exuberance and the feelings and the certain things that strike in different individuals more precious than other items, they're exuberant, and they can't, somehow they just can't be shared at this point. And we all have different things. Brother Ken has something. Brother Ray has something. But if they're all shared and they're all drawn together, someday we'll be able to understand our true feelings, and there's no more need for that particular bottle. So I'm looking myself for that day. But as you know, friends, we have a little, before we close, we're going to close with a couple of verses of God Be With You, and then the organist will keep on playing, but there's a little something else in store for everybody. Some of us here, after we leave this or any other convention, feel a little sad at times. Do you ever have that feeling? That there's something just not accomplished fully. Well, perhaps they say we didn't get a chance to shake a hand with someone, or get to know, or even exchange a glance or a hug, or such a thing. Well, we left a little portion of that program open for such a thing, and we know, and you know, from the past that this is the love feast. And this is the first time, you know, this is the first time I've been in here, would you believe it? All those years with the Jersey City Convention, because I used to be in charge of the PA system, and it was a matter of tearing down things, and while they were having the love feast, I never partook of it. Would you believe that? This is the first time I've had the opportunity and the chance to say it and even to announce it. Now, I don't even know the mechanics fully of it, because I haven't seen it really in operation. But I know one thing, that the friends, that there's none that would be missed this way, and I think that's a beautiful thing. We have the elders or anyone that served on the platform come up here and line up, and then individuals, as they file by, they don't just file out the door, they file at the end, and they stay there. And as each one passes by, they all get a chance, everyone, to shake hands with each other. And I think that's a marvelous idea, myself. So, brethren, for my sake, I'd like to be a witness of this all the way through. So, why don't we begin this beautiful part of our program. And Sister Becky, would you play God Be With You? And this is 64. That's hymn 64. Let's sing the first two verses. Rise on the second. Brother Ray will dismiss us with a word of prayer. And then all the ones that were on the program, please come up here and line up. And then you will file on your right past the brethren. And then just wait at the end till everybody goes by. And that'll be the end of our convention.